This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
From the Embassy Row studios, in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog.
Devo.
Yes.
A whole new world.
It is a whole new world. Well, number one, I'm sitting here in the crap part of Soho, and you are in an undisclosed location.
I am on my vacation with my family and my brother.
Wow.
And his family.
I met your brother for the first time last week.
You did, brother Nige.
It was particularly exciting. I'm not sure that there have been any brothers other than identical twins who have ever looked more alike than you and your brother.
He's my stunt double. He does all of the kind of action scenes that we're shooting for NBC.
Yeah.
In our new role. But I have to say, when we grew up, we looked nothing alike.
Yeah.
And just the older we've got, when we went past, you know, I guess the 30s, we just started to mold into each other. But I think all Jewish people look the same. There's only kind of two or three looks you can have after about, you know, a certain age.
My brother and I think, look more and more unlike each other. But I think that's mainly because Rossi the Ice Cream Man is my real father. Check back to our World Cup previews and you'll understand that.
You know who does look the same, David?
Who?
Seth Meyers' guests.
Oh, my word. Rog, we were on the Seth Meyers show last week. I mean,
he had four white bald men on us, Matthew Wiener and Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke isn't bald. He's not bald, Rog.
He is. He's unbelievable. to meet that man,
yeah.
He's a remarkable bloke, we have to say, Mickey Rourke.
Yes.
But you remember Diner, the movie.
He's a great friend of the pod.
You remember him as Boogie.
Yeah.
You remember, like, the Carol Heathrow popcorn scene, one of my all-time top 10.
Yeah.
And now you look at him. I mean, he looks like a man who would have had to have get in shape just to play the wrestler, David. The highlight of that, by the way, was when your agent came back into the backstage.
My very tall agent, Ben Simone.
Yeah, he's at the Jewish Yao Ming.
Yeah.
He came back ashen-faced.
Yeah.
He said, and there was, like, quietly, because he was still traumatized, he was still in shock. He'd witnessed, as he told us, he'd witnessed the sight of Mickey Rourke in the men's bathrooms doing his business with the door open.
Yeah, the sitting down business is what you're talking about.
It's the kind of sight that can singe your retina if you're not careful. At AA Abbott BC tweeted us to say, at Men in Blazers, Mickey Rourke's hair is what Wayne Rooney's will look like in 30 years' time.
There was a big kerfuffle in the makeup room, though, Rog. The makeup people were very concerned about Mickey's eyes before he went out there.
They were very worried.
They weren't that concerned about us. We just got our heads broadly powdered, which is pretty much the limit of makeup we get these days.
I did love it when Seth Meyers asked Mickey Rourke why he carries a baseball bat around with him.
What was his answer?
So I can hit my enemies in the hips. I can hit them in the hips.
That's why we didn't ask him. That's why we didn't ask him to take an Instagram photo with us. But he did end up doing a promo for us that we posted on our Instagram.
He's a beautiful bloke, and we are a great start to this second phase of Men in Blazers. We unveiled the new Panic Room yesterday.
Yeah, we did. Work in progress. Work in progress.
It is. Send your submissions for our walls. That's all we'll say. GFOPs. Send us your submissions.
Suggestions.
We've had some lovely, beautiful works of art. A gorgeous Bert and Ernie came in.
Yeah.
From Portland. We had a prized possession, probably worth a lot of money in about 40 years' time. A Kyle Martino trading card.
Wow.
But keep them coming in. We will decorate and we will get with. Davo's just fitting the asbestos panels right now, aren't you, Davo?
Yeah, just doing that. I celebrated hard last night, Rog, the opening of the Premier League season, our move to NBC. I celebrated a little too hard, so I apologise if I'm a little low on energy today. Wow.
Oh, I'm glad it's back.
Wow.
My nipples, I have to report.
Wow. Yes, the 2014-2015 season is underway. We've got a packed show. We're going to break down the storylines so far from the first weekend of the Premier League season, 1/38 of the way through. Almost Chelsea play later today at Burnley. We take no delight whatsoever in Manchester United's ongoing misery, Rog, and we're going to grapple with your Ravens. Okay,
yeah,
Rog?
Big show. I love this show, Dave.
Yeah.
I love the first weekend of a Premier League season. It's possibly, Is it your favourite day of the year? It is mine.
Oh, yeah. Bigger than Christmas for me. Bigger than Easter. Bigger than anything.
Renewal of both squads and hope, all those new haircuts, the ink on the new neck tattoos is barely dried. It's just so much excitement, so much broad excitement amongst fans of every stripe. 380 games lie ahead, 228 days. We wrote on our Tumblr, each an unknown voyage of discovery within which everything feels possible. It really does. Even though the EPL is a league of mini leagues within leagues, wheels within wheels, like the title race, three teams, the race for the top four, arguably seven teams, the battle against relegation, probably 12 teams. But on the first day of the season, on the first weekend of the season, we all suspend disbelief. At AO Augusta tweeted us, at Men in Blazers, why do so many 21 to 34-year-old people love the English Premier League so much? Because we're the Saturday morning cartoon generation and the English Premier League is the adult version.
It's very, very true. And boy, are we already overreacting to the surplus of narrative after the opening weekend.
There's nothing wrong with that. The only thing you seemed excited about, because Chelsea have not yet played, is the new free kick spray.
Oh, the free kick spray is outstanding, Roger. But it's the free kick spray is outstanding. It's the way that the referees, it's like how large they get, how big they're getting when they're doing it, because they're the center of attention. They know everybody's watching them. And the various, we really need to compare and contrast all Premier League referees, you know, varying styles of applying the free kick spray.
We'll work out which ones as artistic as Banksy. I think it's one thing we're going to live with all season, cheering the referee spray, ironically.
I know. It's amazing how many journalists got that wrong and thought that it was the fans actually excited about it and cheering for excitement. It is deep, deep irony and sarcasm in that applause.
They're the most celebrated white line since Grandmaster and Melly Mel, David.
That's very good. Okay, Rog, you ready to the football? Okay, yes, I'm just going to crack open my Guinness. I've never needed my Guinness more than today. Oh, sprayed a little, Rog, but we're going forward. A little bit of Guinness. Oh, do you hear that pouring, Rog?
Oh, Dave, I've got to say, hair of the dog Guinness is one of my favourite kinds of Guinness.
To the football, Rog. Manchester United 1, Swansea 2, Rog. In the game that kicked off...
Surely that's a typo.
No, let me just read that again to check. Manchester United 1, Swansea 2. In the game that kicked off the Premier League season, Gary Monk Swansea. We ought to call them Gary Monk Swansea all season. They spoiled Louis van Gaal's coronation in front of more than 75,000 at Old Trafford. A 72nd-minute goal from Icelander Gylfi Sigurdsson sealed a shock 3 points, prolonging United's annus horribilis. Oh, Rog. Who could have called this? Who could possibly have called this?
Emperor's new clothes, David. Emperor's new clothes.
But they won the Guinness International Champions Cup, Rog.
Yeah, and Van Gaal, he worked out how to peak his squad just for that tournament and then decline for the rest of the season after that. They have not lost at Old Trafford on opening day since 1972, Dave. It was tough. I mean, he had a tough hand going into this, Van Gaal.
Yeah.
His message was all, my squad is below top quality. Evans, Valencia, Shaw, Carrick, Welbeck, RVP, all injured. And he was forced to give a debut, or as he says it, that's one of my favourite parts of Saturday morning, debuted to Tyler Blackham.
Yeah.
Previously, I thought it was some kind of Tyler Perry creation when I first saw the team sheet.
Well, I must say, Tyler Blackett was the least of Manchester United's problems. I thought he had a fantastic game.
He's a symbol of the youth.
Centre-back, left-back.
That is running throughout this squad. United have the youngest squad of the 20 Premier League teams. And you saw that when Lingard was substituted out and Adnan came on. Adnan, of course, a veteran on this squad, but he's still 2 years younger than the guy that he was replacing. And you saw it in United's play. Mata, Chicharito, Rooney, unsyncopated. Rooney's first half touches, 18, were as many as De Gea's and how Swansea made them pay.
Yeah. I mean, look, for me, Manchester United certainly just lacked that cutting edge straight through the middle that we're so used to seeing in players of old. But I thought there were some impressive performances. I thought Blackett looked good. I thought Ander Herrera looked useful on his debut for the team in the Premier League. But I think we also have to give some credit to Swansea and how well they set out and how well they played. And this, after all, is what is fantastic about the English Premier League. Look, I mean, barely a team managed to win at home until Sunday. It was a brilliant display by Swansea, and we're seeing strength up and down this table already. It's just going to be a hell of a season, Rog.
Well, 27 minutes in, that quality that Swansea had demonstrated showed on the counter. United's Babe switched off. He had all the space, all the time on the edge of the area. And Swansea's 1,900 travelling fans started to chant deliriously, 1-0 to the Sheep Shaggers. Look at us, American people. And even better, you're getting sacked in the morning to Van Gaal. I just could only picture the scene at David Moyes' home as that goal went in. Moyes ripping off his Swansea jersey, dancing around in his finished basement in his undies, cheap scotch going everywhere. And then your mind begins to wonder, Dave, what would you think the scene was like at halftime in that Vanguard locker room after you'd seen that display from United? Remember, this is a man who was not afraid to show his players his undercarriage to motivate them back in previous jobs.
Well, you say that, but he showed almost, this is what you and I discussed yesterday, he showed almost no emotion for the entire game. The same look when they conceded, the same look when they scored, the same look at the beginning, the same look at the end, the same look at the end of the press conference. You know, the surprised hair on top of his head is honestly the most emotive part of his entire expression.
I mean, whatever went on in the locker room at halftime, Davo, and I imagine him, maybe I'm a little hyperbolic, perhaps punching his fist through Chicharito's chest and ripping out his heart to make a quick and instant point.
Maybe.
Before announcing he was going to move to a back four, whatever it was, it paid immediate dividends. Rooney quickly finished with a flourish from close range. The kind of finish you could tell Van Gaal had clearly taught him in training.
Yeah.
This is how you shoot, Wayne. This is how you shoot. And it did. We loved Van Gaal's reaction, or no reaction, just not a flicker of emotion. He looked up briefly and then kept jotting in his notebook.
Yeah.
You think Miguel Herrera, I think Van Gaal at Manchester United is the antonym in the thesaurus to Miguel Herrera. But when Nani is your cavalry, Dave, when Nani is who you can bring on to change the game, it's really a symbol of a puzzling lack of depth, lack of quality. United couldn't create. They had just one chance in the second half. And it came to pay. Boney, quick pass to Routledge, the shaft of the season across the face of the box. And Sigurdsson was there to prod home. Gary Monk is a tactical genius. United fans left to feel a little bit, I guess, like Ashley Young when a passing bird elected to crap in his mouth. I thought that was meant to be lucky, David.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't lucky this day. Sigurdsson, Rog, how on earth did Tottenham let him go? What a great pickup for Swansea. What a great Premier League footballer he is. Boney, a guy that caught our eye last year, another fantastic game, particularly the moving screen he set on the opening goal. I thought he had a great game throughout. And happy to see them do so well.
I thought Sigurdsson was terrific. Montero, when he came on, had cunning. Swansea, they were organised. They stuck to Gary Monk's game plan. They took their chances, and they briefly topped the table. For all of Van Gaal's tactical genius, Dave, what shocked me was at the death, the best United could muster was poorly drifted in crosses towards Fellaini's head. I have to say, I was not impressed with him after the game. I did wonder, what do you think it felt like to be a United player and hear their new manager tell the world that he thought the players were nervous and then say, I know what positions we need better players. We'll have to wait and see. What do you think that feels like to be a United player?
Tough. Really, really difficult to hear. And the players, frankly, have gone through, you know, a year and a bit of this because very similar comments from Moyes also when he was managing.
He no doubt enjoyed it, but not as much as Rojo's agent, Vidal's agent, the players who are rumoured to be coming in. Their prices are going to rise slightly after an opening day defeat. United fans, I'll say, it's just one game.
Yeah.
Avoid the panic. Avoid the doomsday saying. I mean, it's inarguable. United need 3, possibly 4 new signings. They need them quickly because they have to go up to Sunderland where they're going to meet Deirdre Josie Altidore and his gang at Ferry's Beard, at Men in Blazers. When will the Scooby-Doo gang pull off Van Gaal's mask and reveal these really old man Moyes at Solid Sim, at Men in Blazers? World Cup script writers hired by the Premier League, ?
Yes, maybe.
It's already off to the greatest start.
Yeah, I think I was listening on the radio this morning and doom and gloom from United fans and from United pundits over on the other side of the pond. I think it's only one game. I think they're ultimately going to be just fine. But it does speak to the fact that in this incredibly deep, incredibly strong Premier League, anybody can take you. Anybody can take you on any day, Rog.
Even Everton, Dave. One question I've got.
Yeah.
Being United with the Chevrolet logo splurged on their jersey, I do wonder how much that dent sales in the United States. It's like walking around with Macy's on your jersey or something.
Yeah, I mean it is. It's the commercial value when your team aren't winning. It makes the ads look kind of naive. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, a lot of you think I look like all three of the Glazer brothers, but I'd just to prove that I am not one of the Glazer brothers. If I was one of the Glazer brothers, Miguel Herrera would be managing Manchester United right here, right now. Please, God, please let that happen.
Arsenal 2, Rog. Crystal Palace 1. Oh, dark day for Rebecca Lowe. She's her suddenly rudderless Crystal Palace. Minutes from earning a draw at the Emirates until Ramsey, in typical Ramsey style, fired in from close range in the 91st minute. Delirious scenes at the Emirates, Rog.
What is going on with Palace? November 23rd, 2013, Tony Pulis hired.
Yeah.
Becomes manager of the year.
Yeah.
After Palace lost just once in their last 8 games. At
amazing job he did when he came in.
Even Ned Stark would have thought Tony Pulis' demise was shocking, David. Mm-hmm. I mean, it comes from Palace chairman Steve Parrish, who Carsten Dwyer, GOFOP, go and Google him, thinks Jamie Lannister owns Crystal Palace, and what? He has both hands now. He wouldn't splash the cash. He wouldn't even dribble it. On the eve of the season, by mutual agreement, Tony Pulis walks, probably to a better job with his credibility intact. But how my heart ached to see Rebecca Lowe talking about Pulis's exit pre-game, talking about Palace's last-second demise post-game.
With objective professionalism. Objective professionalism.
It was like watching Sansa Stark glimpse Ned's severed head while kind of trying to stifle all emotion. Long-time football man Keith Millen is the temporary new manager.
Yeah.
It's unclear who's going to come in permanently. Though Malky Mackay and probably terrifyingly for Palace fans, Tim Sherwood, last seen throwing his gilet to the ground in Tottenham's technical area, have been mentioned. I feel terrible for Palace fans, David. Delivered a blow in the kidneys without a ball being kicked.
Yeah, I really should have bought the over on the Game of Thrones references today. I should have taken an exotic bet on that, Rog. I'd be making a pile of cash right now. Arsenal, so Arsenal-y. The way that they won that in the final minute as well, Rog. A pretty poorly played game by them on the whole. Sort of disappointing for their fans to see, you know, Sanogo up front, after his massive preseason, suddenly, a little bit constipated again. Arsenal, very little rhythm through midfield, looking shaky at the back once again with something of a makeshift defence. But ultimately, they find a way to get the result. But those close games, they tend to catch up with you as the season goes on, Rog.
Well, Hangeland opened the scoring. Flick header in the kind of area John Terry scores own goal. Very happy at that moment for Crystal Palace fans after such a dark week. But like Tessa the D'Urbervilles, happiness was to be just a fleeting emotion in their lives. Arsenal, credit them, Davo. They responded. They scored in what my dad, Judge Ivor Bennett, called the best time to score a goal right before the break. Alexis gets the assist. He actually created four chances, which is more than the entire Crystal Palace side combined. And an amazing, rubber man, Laurent Koscielny. That header, Davo, loved it.
Yeah, fantastic.
What did you think of Alexis?
He really impresses me. He looks like a proper Premier League footballer. I love his facial expressions. He's going to be in a battle. This was pointed out by someone on Twitter that he's going to be in a battle with Phil Jones for the most remarkable facial contortions through the Premier League season. But I think he looks like a proper Premier League footballer.
Runs around his game with his shorts hiked up like Daisy Duke.
Yeah, his where's
the name? At the origins of his career was Ardea, meaning squirrel, which I think is very fitting, the squirrel. And then I looked it up. I found out a male Cape ground squirrel has such a huge genitalia that their penises are 40% of the length of their body, which I find, I'm not sure why Alexis is called Ardea, but if anyone actually does know the truth, they can email us at Men in Blazers. And right at the end, in the 90-plus-1 minute, Giroud, Debussy, the French connection, the ball comes loose to who, David?
Oh, Aaron Ramsey.
Oh, Jesus. Cacophony. There was even noise at the Emirates.
A three-point
start for Arsene Wenger. I agree with you. They made hard work out of it. They actually created little. Sanogo runs around like a super fan. I think they've got a difficult decision about whether they bail on him now or give him a run of games to try and find his form. But the striker that I loved watching in this game, David, Marouan Chamakh.
Yes, you love a bit of Chamakh, don't you?
Yeah, somehow over the break, his hair seems to have become even more not safe for work. I'm not sure what it is. It looks half feral donkey, half fecal matter. But it appears, and it's hard to tell. I know Arlo White says we're not meant to make medical analyses just by watching games because we're not doctors. But it does appear to have become septic over the summer.
Yeah. I love this. I love the Palace team, though, Rog. I think they work so hard in the middle of park. Jedinak, a player we don't speak about enough, but what a tackler he is. Fantastic footballer.
He's like a rugby player turned footballer. He's an absolute joy to watch. But my question is, I love Palace too, David. Love him. But there's a squad, 20-plus blokes, and not one of them has got the courage to go and tell Chamakh the truth. Is it better to live a life of self-deception? Or better to know the truth? I would want to know the truth. He would look better. He'd look less bald if he shaved his hair off. I wonder what he feels like watching Giroud running around his position.
Yeah.
I mean, it was his. It used to play for Arsenal. He was a striker there. Now there's this man whose hair waves beautifully like golden wheat stalks in a field on a summer's day. He must feel like Gwyneth Paltrow watching Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Martin.
Yeah, similar. Well, yeah, crap performance, Rog. Important result for Arsenal and certainly a better start to the season for them since last year's opening day loss to Villa. Another good start for the season, Rog, for Liverpool Football Club. Liverpool 2, Southampton 1. Not content with plundering Southampton's squad, Liverpool kick off the season by topping a brave Saints performance with goals from Raheem Sterling and Daniel Sturridge, D-Studge, enough to claim 3 points, sending Brendan Rodgers into a giddy sideline scene of exposure, Rog. He's the anti-Van Gaal.
Must have been hard for Southampton. Must have been hard for the Liverpool players who now play for Southampton. It must have been a bit like being Tyler Durden fighting Ed Norton in Fight Club, one guy punching himself in the face. The goal... Oh, David, how much did you love Henderson's through ball?
Oh, that for me made him player of the week just for that one through ball, Rog. It was fantastic. Waited.
Watching it, I felt feelings that are akin to the ones I imagine I would feel if I ever got to first base with Kelly LeBrock. It was a sweet finish by Raheem too. I mean, every time for a period there, Liverpool went forward. The commentators got all G'd up, like danger was coming. Coutinho, Sterling, Sturridge will do that. But then Ronald Koeman's Southampton came alive, perhaps motivated by whatever the new Southampton manager has inside the roll-on luggage he insists having by his side on the bench.
Yeah.
Possibly the most mysterious piece of luggage since Pulp Fiction. If anyone knows what's actually in there, I would love to know. Southampton reminded me of the Linnean Hydra, the ancient serpent-like water monster with reptilian traits, whose head is cut off, but it grows two more. One of those heads, Deuce and Tadic, Dave.
Yeah. But they still have some very, very good players on that team. The industry of James Ward-Prowse, Rog, he's a fantastic young midfielder. And just, you know, Schneiderlin, fantastic player. Still got some very good players on that team.
We know Brendan Rodgers is listening to the pod with a notebook to write down Southampton players I should buy, which is a list he has. But Tadic, this is the Premier League of Serbian players.
Yeah.
There's Dusan Tadic, Markovic at Liverpool, Matic at Chelsea, Nastasic, Savic, Tadic, Velošić, Kolarov. 7 million Serbs, Dave-O. 7 million Serbs.
Yeah, and 6 million of them are playing in the Premier League.
They should stop the pretense of calling it the English Premier League. Stop calling it the Serbian Premier League, Dave-O.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Good marketing.
So Tadic was propelling them forward. Wanyama was a beast. As you said, Ward-Prowse, exquisite passing. Mignolet was Liverpool's best player for stretches.
Yeah.
I kept looking at this Southampton team and wondering how many of them, like a Cuban baseball team, would attempt to defect to Liverpool at full time. As you said, my brother's here. You've met Knight.
Yeah, big Liverpool fan.
Huge Liverpool fan. And I said, I was watching the game with him.
Yeah.
And I said, Everton always wilt. But Liverpool, this Liverpool team, they seem to find a way to win. And Southampton took Tadic off, threw on Shane Long.
Yeah.
Lost their sharp edge. Ricky Lambert came on, watching the situation fight his own brother in the New Jersey tanning salon. And it was Sturridge, your man.
Yeah, D. Studge.
How much do you adore that player?
I love him. I really, really do love him. Fantastic. Just always, he works so hard to find space, always making great runs. It's just the movement of Liverpool is great. Even when Coutinho was not really firing in this game, Rog. But the movement of Liverpool was superb throughout.
I mean, I enjoyed Brendan Rodgers' dance. He's on the cuff bus. He's got those big cuffs, that red and white tie.
Yeah.
Rapturous celebration. He looked like an uglier, poor man's Wet Herrera on the sideline. But you have to give him credit. Southampton looked like they were imperious for a time. And his tactical substitution to bring on Lambert when Liverpool's problem appeared to be that they had gaps in front of their back four, it was a very brave risk that Rodgers took tactically to force Southampton back onto themselves. And I do think Rodgers is going to have a selection decision going forward. So many midfielders, Coutinho, Allen, who made all the difference, Henderson. You've got to wonder, Dave-O, one of the storylines for Liverpool this season is going to be, where is Steven Gerrard on the depth chart?
Yeah, although his set-piece delivery still was sort of exquisite a number of times in this game, and it's very good reason to have him there. Lambert, though, worked so hard and actually gets some credit for the goal. I think he won the ball back two or three times in that passage of play to go and do it. And that's what Liverpool seem to be doing for me, Rog, is they're adding a little bit more steel to their performance. The reason why the Henderson through ball was so great was that he won the ball in a 50-50 tackle and then right after that hit that pass with his left foot with great accuracy. That's what made it so incredible for me, that it had some steel to it. Just wasn't just the exquisite forward-thinking football we've been used to seeing from Liverpool. Newcastle 0, Manchester City 2. Newcastle's glut of new French imports made the game more exciting than the score sounds, but goals from two of the league's best smalls, Silva and Aguero, gave City the 3 points at St. James's Park. For me, this was the performance of the weekend, Rog.
Yeah, I mean, it was a match of true emotion, and it started before the kickoff. Two lifelong Newcastle fans, season ticket holders, perish when flight MH17 was shot down above the skies in eastern Ukraine last month. And there was a beautiful ceremony before the game. Everything that's good about football to me, Dave-O. Even Sunderland, the arch rivals of Newcastle, have stepped up to help the families in their time of loss. And they were there to honour and mourn the Newcastle fans. Stadium-wide applause at the 17th minute. The match itself was kind of just went up and up from there. City languished to begin with. Most disconcertingly for City fans, Yaya Toure didn't win a single tackle, aerial duel, or make an interception in the first half. There is something not right with his head as his contractual problems continue.
Birthday
cake
issues.
But that goal, David, what a slice of magic.
Well, once again, it was the movement that made it so great, Rog.
Yeah, I mean, at City Watch, the great statistical service for Manchester City tweeted, Eden Dzeko turned into David Silva and David Silva turned into Edin Dzeko. It was just absolutely exquisite team football, but Newcastle responded so well.
Yeah, and Cabela, Rog, we've got a new favourite in the Premier Hair League. That's a number one, a fantastic mohawk he's sporting, and just looks to be another very good French import for Nouveau Château.
He was everywhere, David, yeah. Running at opponents, cracking the defence with his movement. This despite having that haircut you mentioned, which made him look like Adam Antbasis. I tried to work out, how do you decide to cut your hair like that?
Yeah.
And then I read a Daily Mail feature on him where they revealed that 10 years ago, as a 14-year-old prospect, he signed for Montpellier and they made him live in a convent. That, Davo, is how you end up with a haircut like that. But he has speed, he has pace, he has youth, and he's on this. Newcastle are almost like a Triple A team packed full of young, stud French prospects, all of whom have come over ready to be a boom or a bust. And City were rocked. Crazy Joe Hart, time wasted over every goal kick. The champions appear to be hanging on, even though Newcastle were unable to glean a shot on target. The man of the match for me was Gabriel Obertan, Davo. His nipples. They looked like he had had a Reebok pump technology inserted into them. And honestly, it's an amazing look with this puma stuff.
That
it looked
is a
like
tight,
he had his buttocks amputated
that is a
and welded
tight,
onto his abs.
Tight shirt, Rog.
It's tight.
It could not be tighter.
Cavalier's give and go to set up Sissoko at the death was exquisite. Sissoko blasted over.
Yeah.
And then Aguero didn't at all when he was given the chance to snuff out the game minutes later.
Snuffed
two
it out.
As you said, sounds comfortable, but it was anything but.
I thought it was a good performance. I think that's the thing about City. It's how they won the Premier League last year. They just have too much. Ultimately, they're going to go and put you away. This is a very difficult place to go and win a game, certainly on the opening day of the season at St. James's Park. I thought that was a good result for City, Rog. Leicester City 2, Everton 2, Rog. Not even a goal from Scottish Messi, Stephen Naismith, with a suntan, was enough to propel Everton to victory against newly promoted Leicester. Substitute Chris Wood scored in the 86th minute for the Foxes, giving Nigel Pearson's men their first Premier League point in 10 years. Take me through your range of emotions throughout this game, Rog.
Well, I tried to be a big man before the game, David.
Okay.
And I dropped Ole White, Leicester supporter. Mm-hmm. I dropped him a line for relationship damage minimization purposes.
Yeah.
I just wrote, may the best man win, Ole. maybe a bit patronized.
Yeah, and passive aggressive, potentially.
And he wrote back, he said, after the game, he said, I would have taken a point. I couldn't watch. My stomach was churning. Too many memories of opening days past, e.g. Leicester 0, Bolton 5. I was already down, David, before kickoff. The news that Ross Barkley, our wonder boy, was originally out 6 to 8 weeks.
Some
media reporting he could be out as long as 5 months this morning. It felt a bit like racing to open your present on Christmas morning, only to find yours is an elaborately gift-wrapped box of turd. So we started well. Magical finish by Aidan McGeady. One that made me leap around like David Moyes in my underpants in front of the television set.
Yeah.
But then 90 seconds later, the emotional pendulum struck the other way. Everton went Keystone Cops off the corner. God, set-piece marking, an Achilles heel under Roberto Martinez. And Aloha, the cyclone, they call him Cyclone.
Yeah.
Are finished off. We played beautifully then. Movement, intelligence, defenders running ahead of the midfield. It was complex stuff in that first half. And your man, my man, the world's man, Stephen Naismith, the translucent one.
With a suntan, Rog.
Yeah, you'd love that. But still, to me, even with it, he's still translucent. But this is the season. He enters Messi, Ronaldo, Blondor, kind of ether. At Dante Florence said, Naismith, the Nosferatu of the North. I love that nickname.
They're building the team around him, Rog. They're building the team around him.
And at Jack Archer, when Brits say Stephen Naismith scored a goal, it sounds like you're saying Stephen A. Smith scored a goal. Very different people, David.
Very, very different people. But then, Rog, Leicester come back and break Everton's hearts in the 86th minute. That shirt, though, Rog, they'd already won a point for me just for the quality, the depth of blue of that blue shirt, the gold lettering. That is, I dare say, the best shirt that any newly promoted team has ever worn in the Premier League.
Best shirt, best names, Danny Drinkwater.
Love that name.
Jeff Schlupp.
Lovely.
Jeff Schlupp.
Yeah.
I think Danny Drinkwater may be one of my five names of all time behind Billy Ocean and God Shamagod.
Yeah.
At Chaz Cambria tweeted us, is having a surname like a government health warning a common practice in England? Drink water, eat veggies, Guinness a day, that should catch on.
Yeah.
Leicester were fabulous. I mean, they rebounded, they didn't wilt. Everton were sloppy, uninspired in the second half. Lukaku seemed to be exhausted from about the seventh minute on. Languid, mentally
It's all that money in his pockets.
Game.
It's all that money. It's tough to play with that much money.
Everton fans will turn on him very quickly with that kind of performance, but Jagielka and Distan, who have so long been the rock for this team in the centre of defence, look to have aged horribly. Johnny Stones, oddly tactically confused in that second half. In 86 minutes, Leicester got what they deserved. New Zealander Chris Wood popping up with the equaliser. Everton have got Arsenal and Chelsea next, Dave. For people like me who are easily concerned, there's a lot to be concerned about.
Well, I thought that it was, once again, I thought it was okay. I think Leicester, a lot of teams are going to go there, and I think they're going to struggle. I think they're going to have a very, very good season. It was tough to find a really bad, really poor performance in the English Premier League this weekend, I'd say. Okay, Rog, West Ham 0, Spurs 1 in a game that proves our season mantra, pies don't lie. Eric Dyer, the man we named as Tottenham's key gent in our Premier League previews, available across NBCSports.com. He scored in the 93rd minute, Rog, proof that all English strikers come through in the clutch as long as they're actually defenders raised in Portugal.
Oh, the Pochettino, Davo.
Yeah.
Off to a winning 3-point start.
Yeah, in a London derby. Very hard.
Carl Norton's handball gave West Ham the perfect opportunity to take the lead, but West Ham then missed both the penalty and then failed to score again when they had a one-man advantage. Mm-hmm. They demonstrate the same lack of guile in attack that plagued them for the whole of last season. Then they went to 10 men. James Collins, Davo, once a massive ginger, shaved off his hair, somehow looks even more ginger in doing so. Your favourite moment, drunk fan.
Drunk fan runs on the field and... by the way, hits it quite nicely with his left foot over the wall and forces a save from the keeper. Loved it.
I love how Christian Eriksen, when the keeper made the save, if you look at it, Christian Eriksen, the Spurs midfielder, puts his hands on his head and covers his eyes as you would when you react to a near miss from a free kick. He's been conditioned like Pavlov's dog. But 93rd minute, Eric Dyer, Davo, finished so well.
Yeah. I must say, we are going to be entirely... we're going to lack all of Rebecca Lowe's objectivity about Eric Dyer. He's the nephew of a mate of mine. He is a... I've been following this kid for so long, watching him play in all the England age groups. He used to be at Everton, Rog. He was. He had a chance to keep him. We actually spoke about him with Roberto Martinez this summer. Tottenham bought him from Sporting Lisbon. Fantastic buy, 4 million. It could be the value buy. And where does he turn up? I mean, I'm not sure he's meant to be that far up the field, but he turns up in the box, I mean, rounds the keeper. Brilliant, brilliant finish. And 1-0 to the Spurs.
David, there were two things I loved about that Eric Dyer winner.
Yeah.
I mean, the first was the finish.
Yeah.
Which was so definitive, something you do not see from many English strikers, never mind English defenders. The second was his reaction. Mm-hmm. He just made his debut in a London derby, scored the winner, but he just stuck his hands out, not even a flicker of a smile, as if inside he was like, of course I'm going to finish that. Of course I'm a match winner.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, it's something you hope to see in a young player, and I think we're going to see it more and more this season.
Yeah, his uncle wrote to us, and the award for the most out-of-position right-back has ever been away from home, 0-0 in the 93rd minute, goes to Youth Has No Fear. Brilliant stuff. Okay, Rog, in other games, QPR 0, Hull City 1, an early second half goal from James Chester gave Steve Bruce's men and his lovely tummy their first 3 points of the season at Loftus Road. West Brom 2, Sunderland 2. That match included a Lee Cattermole wonder strike, Rog, that his manager Gus Poyet called probably the best of his career. That might have been the only wonder strike of Lee Cattermole's career. And finally, Stoke City 0, Aston Villa 1. That's a shock for many people, Rog. Andreas Weimann's early second half goal was enough for Villa to start the campaign with a win, second year in a row, over Fantasy Football's Bohan Krikic. I need to check the pronunciation guide for that one. I'm sure I got it right. And Stoke at the Britannia. So still to come, Rog, at point of recording, Chelsea at Burnley. The late announcement that Courtois will start in goal. He's won the goalkeeping battle over Peter Cech, Rog.
Amazing. Mourinho already started off the season by mouthing off like Sarah Michelle Gellar in Cruel Intentions. I don't like to arrive on time to collect the fruit off their trees, he said about Manchester City's Pellegrini. And then said some managers have 10 years to win something. Taking a little jibe already at poor Arsene Wenger. Don't knock poor great Uncle Arsene.
To the Ravens from Joe Schuler. Roger Devo is someone who's been deeply invested in both basketball and soccer since a very young age. I'm curious as to your perspective on multi-sport affection. Here in the US, we're fortunate that the championships of our major sports don't really overlap in any significant way. The NBA Finals, World Series, and Super Bowl mark the seasons for our sports calendar that allows fans to invest heavily in multiple sports. Not so long ago, we even encouraged young athletes to play multiple sports and round out their athletic skill set. Do English fans love their club and their sport exclusively and with undying fidelity, or are they allowed to dabble in cricket or rugby from time to time? Can you follow football and F1, or does the life of a full kit wanker demand the hashtag courage to denounce all other forms of athletic expression? Is passion a zero-sum game and American zeal for other sports detracting from growth of the sport? If not, why do you hear so much snobbery from parts of the soccer community denouncing other sports? Thanks in advance for your poorly thought-out suboptimal response, to which I will question if that's your analysis. Perhaps Rog could help me reframe this as a multiple choice with no viable option. No sleep till Moscow. Joe. That is, there are a number of questions in that, Raven, Rog.
Yeah, I mean, the big one is, if you become a soccer fan...
Yeah.
Like, we have become adherents to the religion of Taroticism. Do you have to give up your emotional connect to
yeah.
all other... I'd say we love sport, don't we,
yeah,
David?
Yeah, we love sport. Full on love it.
And we did 20 years ago, American soccer diehards were often bonded both by their love of soccer and their hatred of all other sports. It was almost like a cult. There was a deep love within that culture, but there's also an odd self-loathing that occasionally floated around. I can say, when I came to America, Dave, I moved to Chicago, I just fell in love with so many American sports. Baseball, chess with chewing tobacco, the NBA, Luke Longley.
Oh, I love him.
The ice hockey, Ole the goalie, Olaf Kolzik, the NFL. Oh, I've always loved my Chicago Bears. And we both adore other sports. Rugby,
yeah.
cricket, golf, tennis, right, David?
Yeah, it was an amazing weekend in British sport. England crushed India at the cricket, Rog. Great Britain record haul at the European Athletics Championships. I mean, and then the opening of the Premier League season. I would say that English people on the whole watch everything. It's a nation that properly loves sport.
I'd say that. I'd also say it's a long-held dream of mine to one day commentate on the home run derby for Major League Baseball.
Wow.
I was just talking last night with a gentleman who's very close to the new commissioner of Major League Baseball and talked to him. About, I actually said both of our childhood dreams, Dave, I threw yours in with mine.
Yeah.
I do think there's a bandwidth problem, which is there's so much football on television in America. There's almost, we're almost living in a time of too much bounty, but personal narrative for me, I adore the Bears, I adore the White Sox, I adore the Capitals, but none of those teams will ever be as woven into my own biography as Everton Football Club.
Yeah. Interesting. The only tricky thing, though, for me is that there was so little football on television. Until the Premier League came along, we barely saw our teams playing league football. And so we grew up mainly throughout, you know, me in the 1960s, you born a few years after me. You weren't alive in the 1960s, Rog.
I feel like it's funny that because I feel like I was born in the 1870s, but go on.
But, you know, we didn't see football, so we had to watch other sports on Grandstand and World of Sport and Sports Night. There were we were starved of football most of the time. So cricket was endlessly on. So I probably watched way more cricket growing up than I did football. And it also takes a lot longer, Rog. This week's Raven of the Week, recipient of this coveted Guinness Pod Poet of the Week patch that I hold in my hand, Rog, on the podcast. It's Colin Custer in Seattle. What a great name, Colin Custer. Dear Rog and Dave,
I love America.
I've followed Spurs since Casey Keller manned goal, and I've been in the Sounders supporters section since they were finally promoted to an MLS. I've considered Sounders and Spurs my two teams. I didn't think this sports bigamy would ever cause problems because of continents and oceans and things in between. I was thrilled twice when Spurs bored with my heroes and Keller and Dempsey became players I could watch live every week instead of just on TV with a camera somehow positioned right over the touchline. They didn't seem like big losses for Spurs, but they were big gains for the Sounders, so good feelings all around. Now, DeAndre Yedlin has gone the other way. I should feel joy at our first homegrown local boy made big choosing my other club of affection. I still get to see him on TV every week, but I just can't escape this knowledge that it's Spurs. They will cock it all up. I am so certain of this. I even feel our 2018 World Cup chances slipping away. A loss for the Sounders, a loss for Spurs, and a loss for USA, USA, USA. Is this what it feels like to be Roger Bennett? Now I will go read some World War I poetry and watch the episode of Downton Abbey when Cousin Matthew dies. Spoiler alert, yours always, Colin Custer, Seattle.
Dave, first of all, we should say, Dave, you and I, congratulations, mazel tov to DeAndre Yedlin, GFOP.
Yeah, great friend of the pod.
Four-year contract, but he's going to stay with the Seattle Sounders, oddly, until the start of the 2015 16 season, a deal reported at around $4 million.
Yeah. It's tough to know what's going to happen here. It's just a year is a very long time in football, Rog.
It is. And it's an odd deal. I mean, the questions prodding at the league against nation tension that MLS are grappling with, that Jurgen Klinsmann's grappling with, that last week's interview with Miguel Herrera showed that he's also grappling with, trying to get the best players on his Mexican team to play in Europe. Bloody Sting's even written about it. If you love somebody,
set them free.
You can't control an independent heart, can't tear the one you love apart. But if he'd gone now, DeAndre, I'd understand it, Dave. I would understand the tension. But this is a very odd, it's called a delayed transfer, apparently. Sounders GM Adrian Allauer said he'll become a Tottenham player at some other point. He was never registered with Tottenham and loaned back to Seattle. It's a delayed transfer. They've almost locked in a price for DeAndre, hoping that he'll be greater down the line. And you can imagine a scenario you're hinting at.
It's like buying a future.
Where he will not even get there.
Yeah.
But for now, our advice, Colin, would be panic not. Enjoy him while you've got him. You've got him for some time. And you can only worry with realities that are in front of you, and he's not quite a Spurs player yet.
Yeah, for now you can just enjoy Eric Dier. Your weekend is going to look like this in the Premier League. Everton versus Arsenal, like you said, Saturday, 12:30 on NBC, Rog. It's made the network.
Not in the face.
Sunderland versus Man United, that's on Sunday at 11 a.m. on NBC Sports Network. The big game on Monday next week, Rog. Man City versus Liverpool, Monday, 3 p.m. NBC Sports Network, Rog.
Dave, it's so good to be back.
Many ways to connect to us. One is through our Amazon Emporium, which helps keep the show going, Rog. Anytime you go on Amazon for items big or small, just click off the Emporium page. And MIB gets a tiny percentage that allows us to cover the costs of creating the show and associate producer Lexi Tannenholtz's YouTube show as well, Lexi, right?
Oh, it's phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. Rog, what are you putting in the Emporium this week?
Well, like everyone else, David, I went to see Boyhood.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
You shouldn't see it, or you'll find it very dark and depressing, but it is one of the best movies I've ever seen. Uh-huh. Up there with, what's your favourite movie of all time?
Braveheart. I'll keep on watching see if the result's going to be different.
I think mine would be Once Were Warriors,
Pelé
the Conqueror, uh-huh. Pretty in Pink, probably in that order.
Yeah.
But Michael Apted's 56 up. I went to get hold of it after watching Boyhood.
Yeah.
It's a massive institution in England, the documentary that where he followed the lives of 14 British kids since 1964, and he checks back in with them every 7 years. It's harrowing poetry. It's a documentary about England, but it's really about life. It's like a great Mike Lee movie, but real.
My one, Rog, I posted on Instagram a picture of me at home when my kids saw the Men in Blazers podcast promo that NBC very kindly put on the air during the weekend's football. And some very observant GFOPs noticed that there were multiplication flashcards lined up perfectly on the floor. They assume that my three-year-old, half of who is in the picture, George, did that himself, and that I was already training him in multiplication. He's a very smart boy, but not that smart. That is, and my 10-year-old daughter, JJ, was very upset. But these are the math multiplication tables. Whether you need it for your three-year-old, your eight-year-old, your 10-year-old, or your own multiplication skills are a little bit rusty. I highly recommend math multiplication flashcards. Fun for the whole family, Rog.
Love that people thought George was working on his maths.
I know. Beautiful mind.
If he was working on his maths, he'd have no time to learn Chinese, would he, David?
No, no time at all. Or work on his right foot, because he's so left-footed, Rog, and we're working on his right foot right now. Second way to connect to us is our newsletter, The Raven, fueled by Guinness. It collates the best Ravens and our own writing on a weekly basis. Sign up via meninblazers.com. We will both post what we are reading, listening to, or watching there as well. New listeners, please download on iTunes and Amazon our best of album. It's somehow still soaring up the Billboard comedy charts, Rog. Men in Blazers, Unbuttoned. Now, that's what I call suboptimal. Also, you can click on our wonderful, independently GFOP-maintained wiki, meninblazers.wikispaces.com. A wonder of the modern world. Rog, enjoy the rest of your vacation. I miss you here in the crap part of Soho, but very happy you're down there at the shore.
In the shade, Dave. In the shade at all times.
You can follow us at meninblazers.com. The whole team do a fantastic job maintaining that website. You can follow us on Twitter at Embassy Davies, at Rog Bennett, at Men in Blazers. Our Instagram, Men in Blazers. Like us on Facebook. Emails to meninblazers@gmail.com. Ravens, continue to send them to the crap part of Soho, not up to NBC in Stamford or at 30 Rock. They don't know how to handle a Raven at NBC. That's it, Rog. We're very excited. The podcast is going to remain as suboptimal as ever, which you will know if you've made it all the way to the end of this week's podcast. Vendorpunkt.
War pig.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Explosion.
Courage.
Dies the day.
Is that your analysis?
No sleep till Moscow, or is it Moscow?
Obrigado. Rock on, mate.
Kung Fu fight in America. Love you, Dave.
Love you, Rog.